Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living's Midtown, and we are here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. We are a community of people who believe in the idea of oneness, that the world is one, that life is one, that there is only one power moving through life and through all things that are expressing. People use it in various ways, and we create our lives out of and as part of that one power. We support you. We believe in you and your freedom to live your life according to your desires of your highest and greatest good. And we believe that good ultimately does win out. Whoever you are, whatever your background, however you identify yourself, male, female, they, them, any other expressions that you've come across, however you understand yourself as ethnically and racially and in all of those ways, we see that as just the great tapestry and beauty of life unfolding. So we can only love and support you and enjoy the ways in which our various apparent differences blend together and mold into one great tapestry and beauty. So I welcome and invite you to be with us, to join with this service and any other things that we're doing that you can participate. To understand a little more about who we are and how we operate, you can check out our website, but you can also notice what our Declaration of Principles are as we share those now. I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Those ideas and many more are found on our website at cslmidtown.org. I invite you to check us out there. I at this time, would like to introduce to you one of our practitioners. A practitioner in this teaching is someone who has studied these principles and learned to apply them in their lives so that they found to live more fully and freely and have found great change and joy and goodness from them. They also know how to use them or help other people apply them in their lives and are professionals, really. It's a professional designation to be a licensed practitioner at guiding and helping others along this path. Today we have Judy Ailey with us. Very happy to have you here, Judy. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm glad, also very happy to be here. Good morning and happy July. Happy 4th of July weekend. This month, in our yearly theme of Living Everyday Wonder, in this month, we are going to be focusing on relationships. And this Sunday, as we begin to look at relationships, of course, we begin with focusing on ourselves and loving ourselves. The love that we desire in the many kinds of relationships that we are all a part of, the love that we think we can receive from relationships begins with loving ourselves first. What does loving ourselves mean? For me, a great deal of this idea of loving myself boils down to knowing that I am deserving of every good thing. It means to know that I am deserving of vibrant health, of abundance, of creative work, and of course, of loving, wonderful relationships. It means knowing that I am not flawed at that deep spiritual level. It means knowing in my heart that I'm created whole, perfect, and complete at that deep spiritual level. And it means knowing that the universe created me out of love and that I am unique and special in the world, and that I have something special to offer and express in the world. Loving myself means to know that I am valued. I know that only as I embrace these ideas of self-love am I able to express love in the world and in the many and varied relationships that I participate in every day. And I also think about the oneness of the universe that I am a part of. That in my world, there is no us and them. It is all one. So that as I love myself, this love is reflected back to me in the world, in my experience. So as I am loving you, I am also loving myself. And as I am loving myself, I am also loving you. My love for myself is expressed through the choices that I make in my life, choices in all kinds of areas, down to what do I choose to focus my mind on. And ultimately, I choose to focus on the truth that there is only one loving presence, and this presence is a universe of God or of good, and that the ultimate energy of the universe is this presence of love. So I choose to align myself with this love. I know I am part of this love. I know that me loving myself is part of the universe expressing this love in the world. So the opening song, I think, really says it all. The world is really one. There is no us and them. So I want to just take this time to transition into an experience of spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. So I just ask you to take a few moments and allow yourselves to be comfortable wherever you are, and to just take a few moments to allow yourself to be grounded and just fully present right here and right now. And please accept these words that I'm going to speak for yourself. I'm going to say them as if I'm just saying them for myself, but they are, of course, for all of us here listening to this right now. So here we go. As I just focus on this present moment, this moment of great creation and of great power, I know that all is well. I know that around me, through me, in me, as me, is this presence and this power of good, is this presence and power of life, of love, of every good thing. I know that I am completely immersed in it, totally and completely. And as I know this, I know that I am the beloved of God, that this presence and this power created me out of love to express love in the world. And as I know this, I have great regard for myself. And this regard for myself expands out into the oneness of all of the world. Because there really is no separation. There is only one. As I know this oneness and my complete connection and my complete wholeness and my complete perfection at that deep spiritual level, I know that the things that I focus on, the way that I look at opportunities and situations in the world, that these views and these beliefs and what I focus my attention on, it matters. It matters. These are the things that will grow and flourish and take root in my life. So today, I just take this moment to know that peace is my peace, that love is my love, that prosperity is my prosperity, that God is my health, that all of these good things are truly mine. And I just turn away from any idea of any need for anything other than the wholeness, the oneness, the goodness of this life. I turn away from the idea of any necessity of want or lack or limitation or frustration or fear or sickness or anything that seems to just send me off down one of those spirals. I just turn away from all of that. Instead, know that I am grounded in this loving presence, this loving power, this power that I can tap into, that guides me, that directs me, that only desires the very best for me. So I just know that this is my truth right here and right now. I do love myself. And as I love myself, I know that this love spills out from the love for myself to the love that I express in the world. And I bring this presence, I bring this joy, this power, this goodness to every situation, to everything that I experience in the world. I am the way that God expresses in the world. So I am just so grateful for knowing this today. I am grateful for being here. I am grateful to be a part of this spiritual community. I am grateful for CSL Midtown and the lives that it touches and the lives that it heals. So as I know that these words are the truth, I release this treatment now, knowing that it is so. And together we say, and so it is.
Yeah, this is the month where you're starting a brand new series entitled Relationships. I prefer to think about it as a month to think about ships, because I love ships. I love being in where there's a harbor and seeing all kinds of ships. Big ones, little ones, fast ones, slow ones. You know, and we all have lots and lots of ships in our lives. There was an old book years ago that I don't remember the content, but I remember the title. It said, "A Ship Sailed Into My Living Room," which was the beginning of a new relationship that sailed into the living room of the author. We all have relationships. We have all kinds of relationships. And all of those relationships can be different. I have a few relationships that are like the mega yachts that are, you know, large, shiny, nuclear propelled, and all sorts of every kind of possible shiny thing. Relationships that transcend time and space and place. I have relationships that are kind of sometimes like a leaky boat. They're working, but they have to be bailed out every so often. And I only say that because I suspect I'm not alone. We all have lots of different kinds of relationships. And most of our relationships can fall into one kind of characterization or another. If you're like me and like to play with those kind of metaphors, I invite you to do that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk first about our relationships with ourselves. Next week, we'll talk about relationships with family and those we call our close we. And then we'll look at the community at large and at nature. What's your relationship with nature? And finally, then the last week of the month, we'll look at your relationship to the infinite, how you see and feel and understand that. Is it a super yacht, or is it a leaky boat, or is something in between? But today we're going to look at this relationship with the most important person in your life. I can't emphasize that enough. The most important person in your life, and the one person you can count on to never, ever, ever leave you. You may try to get rid of them. You may try to blank them out. You may try to ignore them, but you will never leave you. You will always be there, and you are the most important person in your life, because how you relate to yourself has everything to do with how you relate to the world and to others and to everyone else. See, we're not simple, monochrome kind of people. We are all multi-layered with all kinds of roles and physical expressions. Each individual has aspects about us. We are mental, we are emotional, We have histories. For many people, you have an inner child that perhaps was hurt or wounded. And there's a relationship that needs to happen there. And there's that is there. Or there's a childhood that's been blocked out and that relationship has been stymied. Or you have an inner brat. I love that idea. Chris Michaels down in Fort Lauderdale did a talk years ago on his inner brat. And I think knowing Chris, that was appropriate. Knowing me, it's also appropriate. Because there's a part of me that's just a bratty kid sometimes. And I need to have a good, solid relationship with myself in order to parent that child and parent that part of me as I grow up in the world and in public. You know, there's the parts of us that are historic, that are based on events that have happened in our lives and how we relate to ourselves as having lived through those events is a really powerful and important part of how we live and what we live and what we choose to do. There's a wonderful quote from Science and Mind magazine, and it says that our three greatest needs are to feel that we are needed, wanted, and loved, and to feel that we belong to the universe in which we live. It's a gender-neutral version of the Science of Mind. See, that desire, that need to be needed, that need to belong, that need to matter, if you will, is so core with all people that it shapes who we are and how we make decisions and how we go forward and how we live. And it's our relationship with that aspect of ourselves, that desire to be connected, that desire to be part of, that desire to know we are welcome in our world, that is so vital and so important. And that's where that whole business of self-care comes in and self-respect. You know, self-care and self-respect is a deep, abiding spiritual practice that we do. And whether you think of it as spiritual or from psychological terms or just from the language of self-knowing and self-appreciating, it's a vital core piece of who and what we do and what we are. You know, establishing how you think about those events in your life that have led you to where you are now. Those places in your life where you may think you need to do some forgiveness. Maybe some criticism going on. Maybe you need to do some forgiveness work for yourself for being the way you are, if that's what you think or feel. I used to use that as my big excuse when I was a teenager. That's just the way I am. I'm always late and I don't get where I'm going to be and I don't do things well. And that's just the way I am. I held on to that till my uncle straightened me out one day and kind of backed me against a tree and said, listen, you can be whoever you want to be, whoever you choose to be, if you're willing to do the work. It's not just the way you are. It's what you're choosing to be. Wisdom, great wisdom. See, so forgiveness is about sometimes understanding where some of our habits and practices and experiences came from. That desire, that need to belong, that need to matter, that need to know the universe in which you live is welcoming you can shape how we behave in lots of situations, in lots of places and ways. So you may have a need to do some forgiving. And if you do, have a simple forgiveness practice to use on yourself or anyone else. I always start with me because I'm the one that I feel like I usually need to forgive the most. That's part of loving and caring for myself. It's not naming myself as wrong and bad or something vile or evil. But claiming myself as an expression of the divine, as part of that power of oneness and that beautiful expression that Judy talked about of divine love expressing and becoming all that is. So am I and so are you. It's exciting. You know, and the simple way to work with forgiveness is a simple affirmation repeated as you breathe. When you breathe in, I accept you fill in the blank. In my case, I accept you, Robert Alva Dean III. That's usually the voice that I feel when I'm not feeling very accepting. And as you exhale, I bless you, Robert Dean. I accept you. I bless you. And you can do that with anyone. And you just keep breathing it and thinking it and saying it until you virtually feel the peace begin to flow through you. We can do that with our leaders. We can do that with anyone that is where we are creating within ourselves discord and disharmony that doesn't feel like we have a satisfying relationship with ourselves. That's one of the powerful ways to do that. Judy spoke a bit about self-love, and self-love is so core. And it takes a while sometimes to sort out self-love and selfishness. That's always a question I get in class, and I get when we start talking about self-love, because we've been told so often you're just selfish that it's easy to get it confused. And I have a wonderful quote from a minister from years ago. She was the founder of the Clearwater Church, and here's what she said in one of her programs. You are not selfish in wanting to live your life as you see fit, but you are selfish in wanting others to live their lives as you see fit. I wish I could, I want to spread that quote all over the world right now, all over every billboard, every city. Take a look. It is selfishness to assume or expect or desire for other people to live according to you and your wishes and your wants. It is love, and it is self-love to want the freedom for yourself and others to live their lives according to their highest idea of themselves, their highest idea of their greatest good. I mean, how much more loving can you be? You know, and the amazing thing is we live in this infinite intelligence that the universe is, that can coordinate all those things together and come out with wonderful, wonderful expressions and relationships and dances between people. If we just trust and allow it. A big piece of this practice of self-care and self-love is really coming to grips with our history. I mentioned earlier, there's always parts of ourselves that are kind of sometimes almost split off or divided within ourselves around our various histories. You know, I have all these different parts. I have the teenager within me that loves to get out and play and dance and carry on and act like a teenager, break the rules and work on things. And also just wanting to continue to grow and find this new way of being for this day and this moment. And we have within ourselves all of those different parts. And a really important thing for all of us in self-care is coming to grips with an understanding of our own stories. Brené Brown has a quote about this, where she says, I now see how owning our story and loving ourselves through the process of owning our story is the bravest thing that we will ever do. And whether that story includes trauma or includes joyful, wonderful things, or is just kind of boring, owning it and loving yourself and owning it is not only powerfully healing, it is so freeing. Because then you can just be who you are. And you can be all of who you are. You're not trying to be a version of someone else. Imitation. According to Emerson, imitation is suicide. Yeah. Being who you know yourself to be, living and empowering yourself in that relationship with yourself to take action around those things that matter to you. It's all so important and so necessary. And there's another aspect of this self-care, self-love, and that is self-talk. I suspect most of you would never talk to anyone else the same way you talk to yourselves. Many people have a habit of berating themselves constantly with names that I shall not speak right now, like, well, you know, words that tear at our self-esteem, that tear at who we are, that put us into negative light. We wouldn't talk to anyone like that other than ourselves. I challenge you this week to start practicing not doing that self-talk that says you're anything less than wonderful. It's an old song we used to do called "How Could Anyone Ever Tell You You're Anything Less Than Beautiful?" How could anyone ever tell you you're anything less than love? Especially you telling yourself. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind Practice says the only malpractice there is speaking poorly of yourself, of naming yourself as less than who and what you truly are. That's a real malpractice. Calling yourself stupid. Calling yourself not smart. Calling yourself unloving. Rather than understanding your story that would bring you to some of those behaviors to begin with. So I got a few things to suggest to you. One is substitute some words. Instead of shoulding on yourself, you know what I'm talking about? Well, Bob, you should have. You should have already had this talk planned months ago. You should have gotten yourself together earlier today. You shouldn't have watched TV last night. You shouldn't. That's all shooting on yourself. Instead of that, what about I could if I wanted to? If I wanted to, I could have prepared sooner. If I really wanted to, I could have gone to bed earlier. If I really wanted to, I could have. You fill in the blanks for you. I'm just giving you that stuff as examples. Yeah, because you could if you chose to. And that shifts the whole energy of the whole idea, because then you're not telling yourself there's something wrong with you. You're telling yourself you're that powerful divine being that can create life according to your desires. And you're choosing a certain path, a certain way. And there are no mistakes. There is no wrong way to do it. That's why we don't have a manual for how we should live. Yeah. Because the universe is already loving itself by our own loving of ourselves. Another word you can substitute is I can if I choose to, instead of saying I can't do this, can't do that. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right, because it's what you think about it. I can do this if I want to do the work. I could be a ballerina. I was when I was 7 years old for about a minute, and I was pretty good. My job was to stand in the middle while all the little girls dancing around me had somebody to pick them up and throw them around, and I just had to point my toes and do some things. But I had to be a ballerina. I can be a ballerina. Do I want to? No. It was fun then, not now. There wasn't that much fun then. See, I can do it if I choose to. Because I have within me, and you have within you, a power moving through us that once we focus our desire and intention, it takes over and guides it forward and gets the work done through us and for us. Pretty awesome. Another word that gets thrown around a lot is, well, you know, I just need to be a better person. I need to have more money. I need to have this or that or the other. And as soon as you declare you need, then you're declaring you don't have. And in declaring you don't have, you create a vacuum. And of course, this amazing power, this amazing universe is always saying yes. So it just says, oh, okay. So you need that. All right. I'll let you, you know, you chose it. You need it. In place of that, how about I require prosperity to live my life well and freely in the way that I choose to live. I require loving relationships. I require loving myself first and most importantly, so that I can most freely love you and care for you and be there for you. It's a great camp song that we do, and I'm camping on my mind because I'm leaving to go do my inner teenager for the next week and a half at our CSL teen camps out on the West Coast. And one of the songs we see, we have these things called love rewards. We have a bunch of them. So that usually by the end of the week, all of the teenagers there have been able to experience the love award. And they give them to each other based on a loving experience they saw or something that someone did for them or for other people that they felt was loving. And it builds this wonderful cohesion among everyone who's there. And when they give the award, we do it every day. They bring them up every morning. They have your award, and then you give your award to someone else. And they take it and go. But when we do the giving, here's what we do. We sing. We'll see. And the words are, I love myself so much that I can love you so much. So you can love you so much. So you can start loving me. It's not, I love myself so much, I'm going to make you love me. Uh-uh. I'm just going to love you. And if your love grows and comes back to me, awesome. But it's not about making or getting love as a commodity. It's about giving love as an experience and an expression, which is what we do for ourselves and for those around us with a rich, in a rich and powerful way. You know, this whole business of loving ourselves and becoming loving, I want to share with you a reading. And it comes from a surprising source. And I'll share it with you before I tell you the source. It says this: as I began loving myself, I found that anguish and emotional suffering were only warning signs that I was living against my own truth. Today, I know this is authenticity. As I began to love myself, I understood how much it can offend somebody if I try to force my desires on this person, even though I knew the time was not right and the person was not ready for it, and even though that person was me. Today, I call it respect. As I began to love myself, I stopped craving for a different life, and I could see that everything that surrounded me was inviting me to grow. Today, I call that maturity. As I began to love myself, I understood that in any circumstance, I am in the right place at the right time, and everything's happening to me exactly as it should. So I can be calm. Today, I call this simplicity. I began to love myself. I freed myself of anything that was not good for my health. Food, people, things, situations, everything that drew me down and away from myself. And at first I called this attitude a healthy egoism. Today I know it as love of oneself. As I begin to love myself, I quit trying to always be right. And ever since then, I was wrong less often. Today, I discovered this is modesty. As I began to love myself, I refused to go on living in the past and worrying about the future. Now, I only live for the moment, where everything is happening. Today, I live each day, day by day, and call it fulfillment. As I begin to love myself, I recognize that my mind can disturb me and can make me sick. As I connected to my heart, my mind became a valuable ally. Today, I call this connection the wisdom of the heart. We no longer need to fear arguments, confrontations of any kind of problems with ourselves or others. Even stars collide, and out of their crashing, new worlds are born. Today, I know that is life. This wisdom is brought to us by none other than Charlie Chaplin. So as we go into the fourth weekend and the weekend of this time of celebration, this time of celebrating liberty and freedom, I invite you to use this day tomorrow, as the 4th of July, as a day to be free from self-criticism, free from the bondage of the I can't and I shouldn't and I won't, free from anything that will hold you back or hold you down from the truth of who you really are. Because you are wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. And now let's hear from our own wonderful Vance.
Everybody, thank you, Dr. Bob, for that amazing talk about self and self-love and self-care and what we can do to express ourselves. And that's where we come together every week to learn to be a greater expression of ourselves in this universe that we live in. And with that, we share our prosperity, share this amazing teaching with the world, online and in person. And if you would say our affirmation of prosperity with me, we can do that. And you can donate at www.cslmidtown.org/donate. Scan the QR code. It'll take you right there. You can do a one-time donation or set up multiple donations, multiple ongoing donations. So now with me, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. On to announcements.
Thank you for being with us today. We're glad you're here. I want to invite you and ask you if you're willing to do something for me right now. And that is pull out your cell phone, go to your Facebook, your Instagram, and your Twitter accounts, and like us. It will help us grow and expand what we're doing. On Twitter and Instagram, it's hashtag CSL underscore Midtown. The others, it's Center for Spiritual Living Midtown is the place to find us. So be sure and do that. It would be a great deal of help to us. Starting next Sunday, we will be in hybrid mode for the future. For every Sunday going forward, we will be meeting in place at the Garden Hill Center, Recreation Center, and here online. So join us at either place or both places if you're savvy enough. And we'll see you then. Thank you for joining us. Here is our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something greater, better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I'm grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.